from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
If I understand correctly, he was getting so bored that he started appearing with other shows and was just aimlessly driving the coastline based on his social media pictures. Sammy, how was your All-Star break?
That is pretty much what I was doing on Thursday, aimlessly driving the coastline. But it is a beautiful coastline.
It is.
It was a nice drive, but it was nice. I had some family here. It was my dad's 65th birthday over the All-Star break, so we actually had an Airbnb in Encinitas. My brother came down from L.A. We all stayed together for a few days, so that was very nice and a really nice way to spend the break, and it lined up really well with the days off. And you're right. They could not keep me out of the studio, even came in and did the afternoon show for a couple of hours, which was fine and kind of worked out the radio muscles for a few days. But a very nice break and a good weekend for the Padres.
You were in Ben and Woods territory in Encinitas and didn't say a thing to us.
I mean, I was out of town, but...
No, he was there during the All-Star break, right?
Oh, during the break.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like I was like roaming there alone. I had
you had your family.
I apologize. I should have hit you up. I will tell you where we went. Where we went for meals. Where did we go? We went to La Papagayo one night.
Great.
We went to Bird's Eye Kitchen.
Good
tie. One night.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. We went to, where else did we go? Well, we went to somewhere in Carlsbad. We went to I can't remember what the place was called in Carlsbad. We did go to Cali Cream for ice cream.
Delicious.
Which was very good.
It's very rich.
One night.
Good
and we had a good time. So I apologize, I did not invite you to the birthday festivities. That was an oversight on my part.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have gone, but it's always nice to get invited, Sammy. I don't really like to go to anything, but I do like to be invited. I do.
But then you feel awkward when you say no.
Then I feel bad when I say no.
Here is the truth though. At one point during my dad's visit, I did mention how you two lived up there.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about San Diego and how people, you know, work in different places. A lot of people live up here. And I said, Ben and Woods, and my dad is a big-time Ben and Woods listener. I'm sure he will listen to this segment in particular at some point today. He is aware that you guys live up there. So he did know he was in Ben and Woods territory.
Well, happy birthday to your dad. I'm sure he is. I mean, listen, if you raised Sammy Leavitt, you can pat yourself on the back that you did a really, really nice job. I know you were excited to get back to baseball. We all were. It was like a loss inside of us. And then the game rolls around Friday night, and boom, 7-0 loss. I mean, just as putrid of a performance as you could give. And it felt... It didn't feel great coming out of the break,
Sammy.
Three hits. Just Tanner Bibee just shoving on you all night. How did that first post game show go?
Yeah, it felt very much like how the first half ended. That was certainly the most concerning part about Friday night, was the fact that offensively they picked up right where they left off, and I don't mean that in a very good way. Now, the good part about Friday night with Matt Waldron was really good, and Yuki Matsui actually looked really good, and then the game got away late. But yeah, it didn't leave a great taste in your mouth Friday night when they come out of the break, and offensively it was the same thing we saw at the very end of the first half, where they just weren't doing things they did pretty well for the most part in the first 90 games or so, and that's stringing hits together, that's creating beginnings, that's, you know, for the most part, especially early in the first half, winning on the road, doing those things on the road, and then obviously they were able to turn it around Saturday and Sunday. But no doubt, Friday did not feel very good, and was sort of a continuation of what we saw right before the break, especially offensively.
Tell you what concerned me, Sam, and I, you know, when I watch a team like the Guardians, I always look, okay, what makes this team so good?
Yep. Well,
why did they have the best record in the American League at the All-Star break? It certainly isn't their starting pitching. Jesse pointed it out a number of times. Probably worst starting pitching in baseball. Okay, how do you have such a good record? Well, they got a decent lineup. Padres pitchers did a great job shutting them down, though. They kept Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez in check for most of the series. So where is the difference? And it's clearly in the bullpen. They have a dominant bullpen where the Padres have a stressfully, you know,
adequate sometimes,
not other times bullpen. And it just shows you what a huge difference that can make. When they have a lead, they're not going to give it up. And the Padres are pretty good at holding the leads. The difference is when you're down one, they're going to keep it there for the most part. They didn't on Saturday, but you know what? They did yesterday. They gave themselves a chance to win. They didn't come back and win it, but they could have, and they've done it many times this season. And to me, that's the difference right there with the Padres. There's going to be too many games where they're not giving themselves a chance to win because they don't have a deep enough bullpen like the Guardians.
Well, look, even, and you make a fair point, Ben, even with the good of this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of that was due to how terrific Dylan Cease and then Michael King were. And if those two guys are going to pitch anywhere close to that level, that's a big deal for this team. And that's a really great thing. And especially if you throw Waldron in the mix. Look, the starting pitching was great this weekend. If they get that level of starting pitching, that's awesome. But what Friday night, back to the first game of the series, again, what it did magnify, and I know you guys were talking about it right before the break, it magnified one way or another, whether that's via a trade or that's, I'm certain they are going to get some sort of reliever in here, but even beyond that, it magnified the need one way or another to be able to rely on somebody or two guys outside of Estrada, Morahone, and Suarez to get outs in big spots. I mean, look, you go to Steven Kolick in the eighth inning, and that's just a 1-0 game on Friday night. And I know they have Emmanuel Clase waiting in the bullpen. He's no easy task. But, hey, it's a 1-0 game in the eighth inning, and you're trying to give yourself at least a chance in the top of the ninth inning to tie or take a lead. And obviously things sort of unraveled in that eighth inning, and the game got totally away. So to your point, Ben, Friday night was a game where it magnified, whether that's a Yuki Matsui, who was actually really good on Friday night, but whether it's a Steven Kolick, whether it's an Aniel De Los Santos, whether it is somebody via a trade in the next week or so, yeah, it magnified that a bullpen in 2024, especially as we get later in the season, yeah, you need more than three guys that you can really look at and rely on to go get some big outs and big spots. And Friday night did reveal that, and it makes the next week or so that much more interesting because there's clearly a pretty glaring need in that pen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I mean, it was interesting, and there's a guy on Twitter, Letters to AJ. He writes a really good blog on Substack. I read it every week, and one came out this morning right before the show started, and it talks about that Friday night game. And I got some DMs about it as well, and essentially, Sammy, it was like, man, kind of a defeatist attitude of going with Kolek there instead of a higher leverage guy, because you know you've got Klasse coming up. You also know
Schilt literally told us on Friday that he had graduated to more higher leverage situations.
Right.
And that was before that game.
And it doesn't get much higher leverage than that one, right? And so the game was shot, didn't work out, but he was able to preserve Estrada and Suarez for kind of when he really needed him. I kind of scratched my head in game two going to Estrada, but six pitches, I think, and he gets out of it. You know, listen, they get paid to know a lot more than us, but I was ultimately pretty surprised by that move on Friday night.
Well, I think, you know, and I took calls about it on Friday night. I think the easy second guessing is obviously, hey, it's only a one run game. You do have the off day on Monday. You don't know what Saturday and Sunday are going to bring anyway. So why not use one of your main two setup guys in Estrada or Morejon in a one run game,
right?
Even though you're not winning, you're losing. I totally understand it. With that said, I did see the reasoning on Friday, or, you know, I saw reason as to why you would say, okay, Kolek, even though he gave up the home run to Darnold in the game on Sunday before the first half ended, had been really good before that. They're trying to find an arm or two that they can rely on to go get outs, and giving him that opportunity in a one-run game, it didn't work out, right? Because the game got away and the inning got away. I understood the reasoning after the game. I also understand, you know, from a fan perspective of like, hey, it's a one-run game. You got to try to keep it a one-run game, and you have the off day on Monday. They tried it with Kolek, and it didn't work out. But, you know, like I was saying in the previous answer, I kind of get it, because they need sort of desperately to be able to turn to somebody else outside of those three. I guess what I'm saying is I didn't hate that moment trailing to try to get those three outs with Kolek and see if you could kind of graduate him to that sort of spot. It's a tough spot for a manager. It really, really is, when, you know, maybe you don't feel like you have that fourth, fifth guy you can turn to in that big spot and go get outs in a consistent way. But they again, goes back to this. Whether it's via trade or it's via guys stepping up, they need it desperately down the stretch in these final 60-plus games.
Well, and it's like this. I try to put myself in his shoes, and I thought to myself, I would have – what do I always say? Make moves that you can save your ass, right? Like, and that you can't manage that way. Mike Schilt can't live that way. Make moves that you can say, well, of course I went to Jeremiah Estrada. We're only down one. I have faith in my team that we can score off the best relief, right? Like, that's the easy move. Mike Schill did not make the easy move. I got a DM on Friday night. He says, I know Klasse is good, but with 2-3-4 up with a rested pen and days off upcoming, you don't throw Morejon, Estrada. I said, makes no sense. Unless they win the next two, then he's a genius. He says, four in the ninth, you're just using one inning of Morejon to have Estrada and Suarez rested the next 2 days. They're going to use their top three pitchers. I wish they would have saved one for the Nats. And he said, now they don't even have to use Klasse because they scored so many off of Kolek.
Now, they did use Klasse in a 2-1 deficit yesterday.
Correct.
Like the Padres didn't do on Friday with Estrada.
Correct. So it's just, again, a move that I didn't get that is, I'm glad I didn't spout off about it because it would have blown up in
but
my
face. But ultimately, they didn't score.
Right.
So it was the right move, apparently.
Yeah.
Right. And also, just to kind of push it a point further, when you really think about it, if you look at Saturday's game, the score was 3-0 heading into that top of the eighth inning, okay? If the Padres don't score in the eighth inning there, guess who's coming in all likelihood regardless, right? I know Estrada ended up coming in anyway.
Yeah.
But then it's definitely Estrada in a three-run game. And if you're still leading 3-0 heading into the ninth inning, it's Suarez. So,
yep.
Look, there was a world where it could have worked out where it was, you know, you tried Kolick on the Friday, and it ended up being in two close games late and save situations late. You had to go to Estrada and Suarez on Saturday and Sunday. Now, the devil's advocate to that is like, well, you still didn't end up using Morejone, right? So he certainly could have pitched that eighth inning on Friday.
Yeah.
Again, I understand the second guessing. I understand the other side of it. I also sort of understand the thinking of trying to graduate somebody, just like they've done with Morejone and Estrada.
Absolutely, they have.
Hey,
absolutely.
You got to do that sometimes in your bullpen. So I get, you know, not to kind of avoid it, but I do understand both sides of the argument, and they both have real, I think, valid points.
Well, and it friggin' worked at the end of the day.
Before you go, Sam Levitt, I'm looking in the chat here, and I need to ask, do you have a fan club, and are they called the Levitators?
Oh, that's genius.
I don't think so. I've seen that. I've seen that in the YouTube chat a little bit. I really, nobody has ever come up to me and said that in person, so I really don't think so. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, because I wouldn't say there's any sort of Levitators fan club, and that's fine, but my fan club is nothing like the Scrabinator fan club.
The Scrabinator,
I don't know if you guys have experienced the Scrabinator. Do you know that he's doing a second Scrabinator night at the ballpark where I don't have all the details in front of me, but where he's going to have another night where he has his followers and supporters that call themselves Scrabinators at the ballpark.
So I Scrabinators, Levitators. Can we do the Ben and Woodsinators?
Ben and Woodsinators?
Just get rid of the tier ones. Yeah.
How about just the Woodsinators? Sounds like a ring to it. The Beninators. Yeah. No, but it's backed by popular demand.
Tier ones.
The tier ones.
Actually, you know what's really interesting is as you were saying that, I was thinking of your names and I thought of Ben Higgins. Why everybody calls Higashioka
Higgy.
Nobody calls Ben
Higgins. Mark Grant and Mark Loretta.
That's it.
Both call me Higgy.
That's
and
it?
Those are the only two. I don't know. Those are the two.
He's Ben Higgy.
You know what? That is unsurprising, because if there's one thing I've learned in working in baseball for like a decade now, baseball players and the baseball culture, they love a nickname.
Throw an E on it.
And as we've learned with Mike Schilt, yeah, you throw an E on it and you're good. Like I'm kind of shocked nobody called me and they've never done it. Nobody called me Levy.
Levy.
Well, they do call you Sammy.
It's already Sammy, so.
Sam, have a good
baseball players love a nickname.
Enjoy the rest of your day off. Tomorrow, EcoWater SoCal pregame show, I believe, 2:45 against
2:45,
the Washington Nationals. Fairly early start for an afternoon game. We will hear from you again then. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.